Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The child promised to Zechariah and Elizabeth was to be an extraordinary man. Therefore, the circumstances of his conception and birth must be extraordinary. He was to be a Nazarite, dedicated to God even in his mother's womb. Therefore, his conception and birth was announced by an angel, as was true of Samson's conception and birth, he who was also a Nazarite. St. John, the catechist and baptizer, was to bring the Old Testament to a close, for the law and the prophets prophesied until John's birth. It is said that therefore he was born of old and unfruitful parents, whereas Christ, the mediator of the New Testament, was born of a blooming, growing virgin, because under him all was to grow, as Zechariah prophesied. With this St. John, the Levitical priesthood came to an end. Yet he was to lead to the one high priest of the New Testament, our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, John was born of a matronly, elderly woman from among the daughters of Aaron of the tribe of Levi. The son of Zechariah was to go before the Messiah and prepare his way. Therefore, his conception and birth was announced in the temple to a priest at the time of the burning of incense as a sacrifice. All burning of incense and sacrifice, all ceremonial service, the whole priesthood, all of this prefigured Christ and prepared the way for him, that we might have the fullness of salvation as our possession and our proclamation. This St. John was to be a voice announcing the coming of the Messiah, in whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Therefore, his father could not speak and remained silent when he was to pronounce the benediction. John's voice serves us as an example in the Holy Spirit. He was to be a preacher of grace and the forerunner of him from whom we all have received grace upon grace. Thus his name is John, meaning full of grace and favor. As a name was given to St. John, the catechist and baptizer, at his circumcision, so we too are called by a new name in holy baptism. We have no particular command from God the Lord to do this, but it is quite proper. It calls forth some excellent reflections. By nature, we are called evil in Scripture. Because of our sinful conception and birth, we are called flesh born of flesh, children of wrath, miserable children of men. But through holy baptism, we are received into the covenant of grace. We become members of Christ's body. We are reborn by water and the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we receive a new name. We are called the children of God, the brothers of Christ, temples of the Holy Spirit. Our names are written in heaven, along with that of St. John, the catechist and baptizer. We assume with him the obligation to be faithful to Christ, the Prince of Life. We fight against the devil and oppose all evil works under the banner of Christ in his church, even as this St. John so fought and opposed. We are to remember this whenever we think of the name given to us when we were baptized, especially if our name would suggest good memories, as we see in the instance of St. John. He was given this name by divine command, for he was to introduce the New Testament, the kingdom of grace. We read in 1 Chronicles chapter 6 that the priest who served when Solomon built the temple, was named Johanan. In the New Testament, the building of the spiritual temple was to be begun by the heavenly Solomon, Christ. And so we have another John, who performed a higher and better office than the priest of the Old Testament. Zechariah's mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed when he accepted in the obedience of faith the naming of his newborn son. This teaches us that whoever refuses to accept God and his word is also silent in true praise of God. But whoever walks in the ways of God's commandments by faith will have his lips opened to show forth God's praise. Christ our Lord said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." This shows that there is no true love of God where his commandments are not obeyed. If we would give acceptable praise to our God, then we keep his commandments and trust his word. Then you will praise him in words and works with your whole life. For God the Lord looks more on the heart and the life than on simple words. Zechariah prophesies concerning his son in the second part of his hymn of praise, the Benedictus. He is not focused on his offspring, but on his blessed work. First, he says that this Saint John would be called the prophet of the Most High. Already, when he leaped in his mother's womb, he proclaimed Christ. He would go on to explain the prophecies of the Old Testament. Then Christ proclaimed that John was more than a prophet. He did not simply prophesy of the Messiah in the distant future. He pointed to the present Christ. This Saint John is truly our example in preaching, teaching, believing, and confessing. This Saint John would preach repentance, as foretold in Malachi and Isaiah, and as fulfilled according to Matthew 3 and Luke 3. He would give knowledge of salvation to the Messiah's people. By the word of the gospel, he would point to Christ and show sinners the way of salvation. John prepared Christ's ways by preaching repentance, and this is our work as well. Christ cannot enter the sinner with his grace unless the way is prepared by true repentance. If this Prince of Heaven is to take possession of any sinner, then the filth of sin must be removed. If we are to have the saving knowledge of his blessedness, we must first know ourselves in all humility. Zechariah thinks of the salvation offered to us in the word of the gospel. He then gives a closer description of it. He adds first, wherein our salvation consists, namely, in the forgiveness of sins. The sinner's salvation consists of forgiveness. Then Zechariah states the source of this salvation through the tender mercy of our God. Next, Zechariah declares, who has purchased this salvation for us, namely Christ, our Savior. He has visited us. The Son of Righteousness rose for us and upon us, giving light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. We had no light of true saving knowledge of God, no light of comfort, no light of life, no light of joy by nature. All this the day spring from on high has brought to us. Finally, Zechariah points to the purpose of bestowing such blessedness, to guide our feet into the way of peace, that we might have the peace of God in our hearts and walk in the ways of God's commandments by the Holy Spirit. The way of God's commandments is the way of peace through forgiveness. Our feet must walk on this path. During study time, family time, work time, in the challenging or troubling times of daily life for you as students, and for those of you who are, in addition, husbands and fathers. Because of sinful weakness, we stumble often, even fall at times. Therefore, we must pray constantly that by the power of the Holy Spirit, God would strengthen us and guide our feet into the way of His commandments until we leave this wilderness of sin behind us and enter the eternal promised land of the living. Meanwhile, let us ever be guided and grow by the same word of the Lord that was implanted in St. John, the Catechist and Baptizer, that we might emulate Him by the Holy Spirit for the same preaching, teaching, believing, and confessing. God grant it through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.